AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome in. It's football full circle on this Wednesday afternoon, depending on where you live, and Wednesday morning, perhaps. Scott Wetzel along with George Stevens, or George Kurtz, thank you very much, filling in for Ben Stevens, as we have action on and off the field on this Wednesday. Ah, yes, George, we got Adams Gate, we got Caden's Gate with the Jets. Is Ty Hill for sale? Where is Devontae Adams going? Got some decent games, not a great week, honestly. Neither in college football or in the NFL. Last week, we got the perfect storm. We had everything going on. This week, a couple of good games. We'll break them all down over the next 60 minutes here on Sports Grid Radio, Sports Grid TV. So, George, first off, how you doing this afternoon? Some news out of Dallas Cowboys camp with Dexter Lawrence we'll get to hear as well.
Yeah, not good news either. But some I don't want to say breaking news like it's a big thing, but more news out of Dallas as well. Besides Lawrence here, this is a fun time of year for me, right? For me, it's my sports equinox. You got hockey starting on Friday, baseball playoffs, football's week 5. Listen, the month of October, pretty good time.
Yeah, NFL trade deadline, I'll tell you, is a month away. It's not until November, so there's plenty of time. But we have seen some headlines come out. Devontae Adams will start there. George, once out. No surprise with the Raiders. He kind of wanted out last year. That's I don't know if it's a sinking ship, but it's just a ship that's not going anywhere. I mean, whatever quarterback they use, whether it's Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell, they're not winning with the Raiders. His boy Derek Carr left. Aaron Rodgers, when he was with Green Bay, supposedly, no surprise. The Jets and the New Orleans Saints, where Derek Carr is on his wish list. I don't know what you could get. Let's start with the Raiders' standpoint. You're not going to go to the playoffs this year, right? More than likely, would you willing to be trade Devontae Adams, or do you hold on to him? Would you be open to trade? Forget about what you're going to get. We'll talk about that in a second. But if you're the Raiders, would you trade Devontae Adams? I would.
Yeah, more than likely I would. I would. He'll be 32. I think his birthday is Christmas Eve. So 32 on December 24th. You're not competing for the Super Bowl this year. Probably not competing next year. I'm of that belief, Scott. Their quarterback of the future is not even on the team. All right, he's probably playing in college right now. All right, so they got to get a quarterback there, and then you got to develop him. By the time that's – now you're 33, 34, you're done. All right, so, yeah, if I'm the Raiders, I do trade him here. Listen, we know all the usual suspects. Look at every team. Everybody that wanted Brandon Ayuk now wants Devontae Adams. He's not going to Kansas City, boys and girls. That's not happening. They're not trading with him at division. That would be a shock. Unless Kansas City way overpays here. And I don't even know if Kansas City can fit him under the cap anyway. And one other little tricky little thing, he's got no guaranteed money left on his contract. So he's going to want a new contract with guaranteed money. So that has to be worked out. And that probably needs to be worked out before the trade is consummated. This way everybody's happy here. Listen, you want is you bring him in. He's an unhappy player. He pulls a Haas on Reddick. Oh, happy to be here. Not playing.
Well, that's the thing. That Reddick situation really, I think, has got to open up a lot of general managers' eyes, right? Like, let's not trade for a guy unless we absolutely want to give him money, no matter what he says. Yeah, I don't doubt for a second, George, with the Jets, with Reddick, that he said, I'll come to New York, get me out of Philadelphia, and I understand this is probably going to be a one-year deal, but I'm okay with that because you're going to let me get my sacks and this and that. And then I think once the trade was made, then he figured, all right, now I got the hammer, and now I'm going to change my tune on that stuff, and let's see if you let me sit out. And the Jets seemingly are going to let him sit out. So if I'm a GM with Adams, I would be a little leery with that unless I was willing to give him a new contract. Now, that said, let's say a team is willing to give him a new contract. What would you be willing to give up? If I'm the Raiders, knowing that he doesn't have any more money left, and there isn't really a financial tie to him at this point, I'm not trading him for less than a number one. I mean, there are so few really like big time wide receivers. He's in the top 10 for sure. He's a difference maker. You're going to give me a number one to get Devontae Adams. Otherwise, I'm not trading him.
Well, he's not going for a number one. Hell, the Raiders already said that they want a 2+. So they don't even want a number one. They know they're not getting a number one. Christian McCaffrey didn't get a number one. All right, but he got a 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah, yeah,
that he got a better player than Devontae Adams, so he didn't get it. So Devontae Adams is getting a number one. I don't think they're getting a number two. Not straight. I imagine it's a 3 with, performance bonuses. Oh, if he does this, that, the other thing, it moves up to a number two. Yeah, that would be my guess here. What the Raiders have going for them is that, as you said, there's competition for them. I mean, just in the AFC East alone, shouldn't the Jets and Bills be fighting with each other over him? You know, and once again, I don't know if the Bills could fit him under the cap. The Jets, we know, can. The Commanders, he's already said how much he was hoping Daniels fell in the draft, right? He was hoping Daniels fell in the draft to the Raiders so he could play with them. And the Raiders have a truckload of room under the cap, and Daniels is playing so well, all right? That might make some sense. All right, then, of course, Pittsburgh, they wanted Ayuk. Sure, they need somebody there. New England, I don't think there's any chance in hell that Adams is going to sign with New England. I just don't see that. Then, a couple of the smattering small teams that could go after him. I know Matthias, one of our producers here, he thinks the Falcons should go after him. Don't see that. Cowboys, I'd be shocked. They need him, but I don't think any chance in hell they're going to pony up what the draft pick compensation plus the contract it takes to get him.
All right, so let's go back to the team that's most logical, the Kansas City Chiefs. I know they're in the same division. I get that. But you said it yourself, George, they're not going to compete for the division. They're not going to compete for a wild card spot. So what do they care if the Raiders, then they send them to the Kansas City Chiefs? And what if the Chiefs do say, you know what, I'll give you that number one. I will, because Devontae Adams on Kansas City, that means another Super Bowl to me. I mean, you talk about an offense that's just absolutely loaded. I mean, would you give up a number one pick to win another Super Bowl? I would if I'm Kansas City. You want our first pick? It's got to be 32nd overall. Go knock yourself out. I mean, it beats a second rounder. I would make that if I'm the Raiders, if that's the best I can get. If they're the best team that's going to give me the best offer, I don't care if they're in my division because I'm not competing this year anyway. And maybe I'm realistically then not even going to compete next year if I'm going to go draft a quarterback this year. So by the time I'm ready to compete, Devontae Adams will be too old and won't have any impact on my situation. So I'm making that trade if Kansas City is willing to give it up a number one. And if no other teams are willing to give a number one, if I'm Kansas City, here's my number one. I'll take it and win another Super Bowl.
See, the problem is you're thinking logically, all right? I agree with everything you said, by the way. If I'm the Raiders, Kansas City makes me the best deal. He's going to Kansas City. I'm really not worried about Adams. I'm not ready to compete with him anyway. What do I care? All right. That's the way I look at it. But we know in professional sports, generally, you're not trading in with them a division for whatever reason. I said, unless Kansas City blows them out of the water. And I think your logic about Kansas City is correct, too. If you're the 32nd pick overall, then they think they're going to win it again, right? If you're the 32nd pick overall, what do I care? We need a wide receiver. I'm trying to look now to see how much room they have under the cap because I know it's not much, and it's
can't
not.
Can't be much. Yeah.
According to this, they got about $4.6 million. Yeah.
You go to Patrick Mahomes and you say, listen, Pat, we're paying you $45 million. Let's restructure your deal once again. We'll tack on a few more million. We'll tack on a few more years if you want, but give us $10 million and we'll get you Devontae Adams.
Well, it can be done. We know it can be done.
Yeah.
Right. It could definitely be done here. I think Kansas City, I think they're going to have to kick the tires on this. I do. And we know they need a wide receiver. I know you mentioned somebody else, by the way.
How about this? And I'm saying this as a Dolphin fan. Dolphin season is lost.
Yeah.
It's just lost. How about calling up Miami? I know they gave Ty Hill a new structured deal, so I'm not sure the salary cap implications, but let's just, where there's a will, there's a way. We'll leave it at that, right? I mean, Kansas City's got a history, of taking old players back. Kareem Hunt, but Carl Hardman, they have a lot of guys that were there, left, and have come back. How about Ty Hill calling up the Dolphins? You want to restructure? You want to, rebuild? Are they really going to win this year? No. Are they going to go into next year with Tua again? I hope not as a Dolphin fan. So I'm thinking they're going to tear the whole thing down. You want to give me a number one for Ty Hill? We'll take it.
It would be interesting. I don't know. Maybe Kansas City doesn't want him back. But that's a bigger cap hit, though. That would be really a lot tougher to fit than it would be Devontae Adams.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. First time in a little while, maybe the NFL trade drive will create a little buzz. All right. The football full circle continues here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back. It is football full circle on this Wednesday. Scott Wetzel along with George Kirk sitting in for Ben Stevens today. Ben will be back tomorrow. And Joe Lisi as well. Talking some NFL trades. Trade deadline, not until November, but we're getting a little bit of a buzz. We're seeing some teams. You know, this is week 4 and 5, George, and you get a sense of, like, who's going to be, you know, this year's Houston Texans from last year going from last to first, and who's not going to be this year's Houston Texans. Well, reality sitting in, you know, when you're 0-4 or 1-3. And I think these teams in football are turning into more like baseball teams, where baseball will spend, the teams will spend some money, and they give these clubs until, you know, basically the all-star break, trade deadline. And if the teams don't respond, then they say, well, you know what? Fans aren't showing up, so we got to dump some of these salaries because we were anticipating 35,000 every single night, and we're only getting 15,000 every single night. And I think the NFL teams are kind of falling into that same boat. You know, I think they say, listen, no sense being 500 or less than that. Let's get rid of some guys, get some draft choices, shed some salary, and start new. So I think you're going to get some movement this year, more so in other years. You know, generally the NFL trade deadline is pretty slow. You'll get a player here or there, but you know, the NFL trade deadline out of all the deadlines is probably the least active and the least, you know, impactful. But this year, I think you're going to get some movement from some key guys.
Yeah, last couple of years, they've gotten more movement than they have because they keep backing it up. It's never going to be like the NHL, the NBA, or MLB because football is a team sport. Just because you get Devontae Adams, by the way, you know, if he doesn't go to the Jets, it means he hasn't worked with the quarterback, doesn't know the system. You know, they don't have chemistry yet. There's so much that goes along with it. That's the problem here. If he goes to Kansas City, it's going to take a few weeks, maybe a month, maybe 4 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks before he's truly Devontae Adams again, you know, with any quarterback other than Aaron Rodgers because he's played with them already. So I think that's why you don't see it. I mean, it's hard just to plug in a guy. I guess you're an offensive lineman, sure, block. You know, but still, you got to know the run plays. It's not as easy as people think to just plug a football guy in. It's why I've always believed that it's so hard to make a good football trade in season here. That being said, you can tell the NFL wants it to be. That's why they keep backing it up, right? Because they want this to be more like the other leagues where the deadline's fun. Everybody's all over the place watching the news. Who went where? Did my team acquire this? Did my team get rid of that? That sort of thing here. Although it'll be a little stranger this year with the deadline being on election day. There might be a lot going on that day.
Yeah, it might be a little distraction. You might not, you know, this might be the first time in the history of the NFL, or at least the last 40 years, that the NFL would not be number one, right, on your headlines. I got a feeling Trump and Biden / Harris is going to even trump the NFL, which doesn't happen too often. So, all right, you speak of the Jets. We'll start there or go there next. We had Cadence Gate earlier in the week. Jets head coach Robert Saleh saying, you know, our cadence might be too complicated. We, you know, he really didn't, like, if you watch the whole thing, he really wasn't suggesting it was Aaron Rodgers' fault by any stretch or it was the cadence. He was just kind of meandering around like, yeah, you know, we got some issues and with the cadence and we got to look into that. Like, no, he wasn't really trying to make a statement, George. But then again, they go to Aaron Rodgers and they say, oh, Robert Saleh said your cadence wasn't any good. And, you know, you may have to change things. So that automatically puts Rodgers in a corner, and he's going to defend himself. So we dealt with that for a day or two. And now we got the wide receiver, Garrett Wilson, similar situation. Talking to the media, he was asked, I guess, a long-winded question, kind of like what I'm doing with you, about the Jets' offense, and is it too simple? And he said, his quote was, I don't think we do a lot of different stuff, to be honest. When I watch football on Sundays, meaning other teams, other games, I see a lot of teams who mix it up and stuff like that. I don't feel like we do that. I think we know our identity. It's just about going out and executing it. So he wasn't really, and he went on a little bit more after that. So he wasn't really criticizing it. I don't think he was just kind of talking to the reporter. But, you know how it is in New York. You know, you say, wow, our offense, you know, it doesn't do a whole lot of different things. And I see teams doing a whole lot of different things on Sundays that we don't do. Boom, headlines all over the place. You know, Garrett Wilson says the Jets offense sucks. So so now the Jets are dealing with that. I've never seen a team have more issues, George, than this Jets team since Aaron Rodgers has come aboard. I mean, it's just one goofy, dopey, baby thing after another.
Well, isn't that because you don't have a strong head coach? You don't have a strong GM, right? That's really the reason why. The Canes thing was kind of stupid. It's one thing Rodgers does very well. And the mistake, the offsides, the false start happened once. Once. I think it was Quentin Moses who jumped off on the Canes. It happens. Sometimes Rodgers is going to sucker his own guys in. I didn't think it was all that big a deal here. The problem is Rodgers runs the team. All right, Saleh is in over his head. And I kind of like Saleh, but as a coach, he's in over his head. He just is. You can see that. And when you brought in Aaron Rodgers, that personality and everything that comes along with it, this was going to be a part of it, right? He was going to be the story. You know, he says one thing, does another. What did he say during the first thing he said during training camp or mini camp? I don't want there to be any distractions. And then he doesn't show up to mandatory mini camp. I mean, it's just one thing after another with this guy. He's an I-me guy. He's not the same player he used to be, which they didn't need him really to be, by the way. They needed him to be about 80% of that play to be a really good team. But the defense hasn't been quite there yet. It seems to be getting there. And by the way, if they acquire Davante Adams, you already got Lazard, who's getting all the red zone looks, it seems like. Now you're getting Davante Adams, a future Hall of Famer. Scott, how long after that until Garrett Wilson goes, I want to trade, I want to get out of here? And that's going to come next. And you got the Haason Reddick situation we already talked about earlier. This team, I mean, if they want headlines, well, they're very good at getting. They're the New York Yankees right now, back with Steinbrenner, right? Always finding a way to get to the back pages.
Yeah. You said about Salah. You know, he's not a bad guy, but you could tell, like, this would never happen if Mike Tomlin. Now, Mike Tomlin's one of the all-time greats, so maybe it's unfair to compare it to him. But, you know, there are head coaches that you could watch at their press conference and know, you know what, that guy runs the ship. You know, he is really in charge. Come hook or crook, good, bad, or indifferent, it's going to be his way or the highway. And you just don't get that with Salah. You just don't. He's been basically run over. He's got his first head coaching job. You know, being in New York, that's not exactly the greatest situation. Got stuck with bad quarterbacks and bad situations. He's got an offensive coordinator who's just incompetent as can be, Nathaniel Hackett. But it's Rodgers' guy, so what are you going to do? You're all in on Rodgers. You're right. He brings in another buddy. And how long, you said it, before Garrett Wilson says, I want out? You know, clearly I'm not Aaron Rodgers' guy. I want to be number one. I want to get paid like I'm number one 2 years from now when I can become a free agent. I'm not going to put up the numbers. For a 2-2 football team, I tell you, the Jets, and it might be 2-3 after they take on Minnesota. We'll look at some of the games when we come back. Football full circle coming up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ah, yes. One of the songs I'm going to have them play at my funeral, believe it or not. I actually have a list of songs that I told the wife, you know what, play these like 5, 6, 7 songs at my funeral. Everyone else can go home. You know, as soon as you're done with the song, that's it. See you later. Welcome back, Football Full Circle, here on the grid. Scott Wetzel and then Mr. George Kurtz. So we got some games here, George. I don't think it's a monster week, but it's kind of weird. I think the best game on the board, the most intriguing to me, is Cleveland at Washington, just because of the Jaden Daniels situation. I got to see that dude do it again, right? That's a 1 o'clock game. And then maybe the best game on paper is also a 1 o'clock game, surprisingly enough, Buffalo at the Houston Texans. Now, Von Miller, who's doing everything in his power to just, you know, throw away a Hall of Fame career, suspended 4 games, the NFL announced yesterday, for violating the personal conduct policy. Back to a situation that happened in 2023 with his girlfriend. He decided to put apparently a couple of hands on her. So he gets arrested, and that's all settled out of court. But the NFL is above the courts, believe it or not. So he gets whacked 4 games. So Buffalo and Houston, right? We'll start from the game standpoint. How much are they going to miss Von Miller? If there was a game that they would love to have him, this would be it, right? So I think the Texans, I'm surprised. It's basically pick 'em. I like Houston at home here.
I'm with you. I like Houston as well. Talked about this last night with Carver. Von Miller only played 7 snaps last week, but that's because Baltimore's just running the ball down their throat. That's not what he does. I don't know why Buffalo's favored in this game. I know Houston hasn't quite hit their stride yet, Scotty. I get it. They're not quite there. And I am curious to see what Joe Mixon's status will be for this game. I think that's big, too. If he's back, I said, I don't know. I like Buffalo a lot. They're a good team here, but it's in Houston. I think Houston's a good team as well. They're winning games. They're finding ways to win. Buffalo got shellacked Monday night. Short week. Then you go on the road. No, I'm with you. Give me the Houston Texans.
Yeah. The only thing I can come up with, George, is, you know, there's different levels of success, right? You know, you go from bad, then generally you go to mediocre, then you go to pretty good, you know, then you go to really good. And among those steps is winning games by more than what you're supposed to, i.e. covering the spread as a favorite. And as great as C.J. Stroud has been for this year plus, he's not good as a favorite. 3-8 against the spread. They win a lot of those games, like last week against Jacksonville, but it hasn't been great covering the spread. So maybe, just maybe, the boys in Vegas are reluctant to make them even a 2.5, or I would think a 3-point favorite. Like, if this wasn't Houston, if this was, pick a team, you know, Buffalo or Baltimore last week, right? What was Baltimore? 2.5-point favorites, right? You know, two really good football teams. They would make the home team generally a 2.5 to 3-point favorite just because you're at home. Maybe they're just reluctant to make the Texans favorites because they know everyone's going to be betting against them because they've just not been successful in Vegas, winning games by more than what they should.
Could very well be. We know the what Vegas generally wants to do is they want to get half the people betting one side, half the people betting the other side. Buffalo, right. I think, is a more public team. Sure, people may not trust Houston yet, and I think that's all valid. By the way, generally the home team gets about 1.5. So what they're calling this game pretty much a coin flip. Yeah, 50-50. Take your choice. You're going to give me a couple of points or 1.5 with Houston. I'm going to take it. I'm just kind of going to take it. I would take it now, by the way, because I think this is going to go down. I wouldn't be surprised by game time if we're down, really. We are down to a half even straight up anyway here. I think the money will come in on Houston as the game moves along here. I just checked on Mixon. There's no update on him. Last we heard was that Ryan said that he was day-to-day, but this is a game time on Sunday, or Monday, I should say, right? Today's Wednesday? Monday. So there should be some more information coming out as they practice or finish practice today, tomorrow, Friday. We'll see there. But if Mixon's on the – if he's on the field, I think Houston's got this one.
Yeah. I tell you, you look at futures, right? And you want to find a team that might upset the apple cart and actually beat Kansas City. You know, I don't think Buffalo, they haven't when they were really full strength, and great. I don't think this year's version is going to do it. Miami, clearly, we thought maybe the Dolphins, they're not obviously going to do it. Cincinnati has some struggles, and I'm a Bengals rooter. I'm not a fan. I like the Dolphins, but I love that Bengals team. But boy, they can't stop anybody running the football. I don't think they're going to do it. San Diego, well, the Chargers aren't, on that class. There's really, to me, George, only one team standing, and that's the Houston Texans. So getting decent odds right now, I wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to have the Texans ticket winning the AFC.
No, it wouldn't. I don't mind. I said I don't mind the Texans. Defense needs work here, but I think Baltimore's that team, by the way, that they're coming along here. But Houston could be there as well.
Yeah, I just don't trust Lamar Jackson. I just don't. I will take a look at Washington and throw you some crazy numbers with Jaden Daniels coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back. It is football full circle here on the grid. Scott Wetzel, George Kurtz sitting in for Ben Stevens today. Looking at some of the NFL games, we were talking about some of the possible trades and some of the off-the-field stuff, but now back on the field we go. And I tell you, the game I'm most intrigued with, Buffalo and Houston should be the most entertaining, but the one I'm most intrigued with is really Washington at home, George, against the Cleveland Browns. It's funny, the Browns have been searching for a quarterback for how long, going through all different trades and all different drafts and Deshaun Watson being the latest. And you can make the case they're still working for a quarterback, right? Because Watson has not been any good with Cleveland. And here's the Washington Commanders, and they happened to bottom out last year. And lo and behold, they have perhaps the quarterback of the future on their roster in Jaden Daniels. The 3-1, and you talk about, home team, with Houston and Buffalo, only a 3-point home favorite over the Browns, which I find a little interesting. It's that low. So the boys in Vegas not quite drinking the Kool-Aid, I think, on Daniels as most of the others are. But here are some of his numbers. They're all good. But the one that kind of jumps off the page for me, this guy's played 4 games. 3 on the road, by the way, and he has 19 incompletions in four games combined. Seven of those was his opener at Tampa Bay. Then he only had six against the Giants, two against Cincinnati, and then only four last week against Arizona. I mean, I don't know if there's been ever a quarterback that has only had 19 incompletions in his first four games. And again, with three of them being on the road, which is, you know, and he's not throwing for chump change. You know, 184 yards is his lowest total. You know, 226, 254, 233. So they are throwing a lot. Not, you know, 50-yard bombs, mind you, but he's been unbelievable. I thought he was good. I liked him coming out of college. I thought he was going to be better than Caleb Williams. You know, that jury is still out, and Williams could be really good, but clearly Washington has got to be happy with what they've seen from Daniels so far.
Yeah, first off, as a Cowboy fan, it's a problem. Yeah, it's a problem. They've got their quarterback that they've been struggling to find for years here. So I guess good for the Commanders there. Now, I think part of Vegas's problem is you ran down the list of teams they played. Giants, Bengals, Cardinals.
Not good.
We're not exactly talking the greatest defenses on the planet here. All right, now the Browns do have a good defense. Probably not as good as we thought it was going to be, but it's still a good defense here. So we'll see how that works out for me. I think it's part of the reason here. That being said, I mean, the Browns' offense is such a mess. When do they move? It's not working. It's just not working. All right, it's sunk cost. We spent the money. We're idiots. You know, the NFL hates us. Everybody hates us for what we did here, but it's not working. You know, we got to go to Winston here. You wonder when that's going to happen. I think it will happen sooner rather than later. Watson just does nothing to help himself. He's playing the victim card here. He doesn't want to be a running quarterback. Da, 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 da. So it's just not working out here. I guess the good news is Nick Chubb, I think his 21-day window did open up today as they return to practice. So he'll return maybe before Halloween. I guess would have to return before Halloween. So he'll be back in the lineup sooner rather than later. But they've been a disappointing team. The Giants beat Cleveland in Cleveland. Let you know how poor they've been playing here. Bottom line is this. Yeah, I like the Commanders on Sunday. Could it be a dud? You know, I'd be more worried if it was on the road. You know, if it was in Cleveland, I'd probably be a little bit more afraid here at home. I think they take care of business. I do worry about that Washington defense, but man, did they play pretty well against Arizona, especially after that first drive. Right, the first drive last week, Murray hits Harrison, and then it all falls apart for Arizona in a game that we thought was going to have a million points. It did for Washington, not so much for Arizona.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, I did like Washington. I really loved the over in the game, which hit just with, you know, Cliff Kingsbury going back to Arizona, and Daniels, remember, started his college career at Arizona State, so he had a chip on his shoulder as well. That was a nice, easy one. But maybe they just think, I don't know, coming back to the Pack here, back to Washington, and maybe they realize, I was going to say, everyone's going to be betting Washington, right? I mean, how could you realistically take the Browns in this game? Sean Watson has been so bad. They have him locked in for at least another year of guaranteed, like, big-time money. That doesn't mean they can't, like, go a separate way, though, with him, George. You know, not necessarily trade him. No, who's going to trade for him? I mean, you can't cut him because of salary cap implications, but you could draft a quarterback. You know, if they go 5-12, we'll just say, and then really just bottom out, you know, they may have to keep him on their roster, but that doesn't necessarily mean they can't go draft themselves another quarterback. And I would think they would, right? I mean, God, you watch that Browns offense. It's like the Dolphins offense, you know, without Tua. It's just so uninspiring. Nobody makes plays. Everyone's dropping footballs left and right. And, you know, a lot of this stuff isn't even Watson's fault. They have to leave the NFL and drop passes, but there's just no buzz, no excitement, no anything. You know, it's funny. I was saying this on the podcast. You know, what's anything more annoying than a wide receiver catching a 6-yard pass and getting up there like he scored a touchdown? He gives the first down sign. It's like, get back to the huddle, you dope. It was a 6-yard pass, right? But when you have teams that don't do that, like the Dolphins and like the Browns, then you say, well, where's the emotion? There's no emotion on this football team. You know, they don't necessarily care, but, you know, they're just going through the motions. So I guess give me the goofy team with the goofy players that, you know, point the first downs and the feed me stuff and all this. At least we know they care versus some of these other team players that just, there's just nothing there with the Browns. There's no way I would take Cleveland plus the three.
No, I don't know how you can. I'm not saying Cleveland can't win the game. Weird things have happened. It's the NFL. It's a snow globe league from week to week. So we'll see what happens here. But I'm not betting Cleveland. I'm not. I think it's a train wreck team. And I'm as somebody who thought they were idiots for doing what they did here, Watson, far from the greatest human being on the planet, couldn't happen to a nicer player and a nicer organization.
Yeah. How about Washington's win total? Without checking, what they're 3-1, getting all this buzz. What do you think it is?
They're going to play, I would say it's, boy, right now, 9.5. Has to be at least 9.5.
That's what I would have said, right? Thinking 9.5, you got to go 10-7. How about 8.5 on FanDuel? Wow. They have left on their schedule the Giants again, Carolina.
Win.
Bears at home.
They got six.
Tennessee at home.
I think they'll split with Dallas, 7. Seattle's tough. I'm not going to give you a win there.
No, Tennessee.
That's a win. 8.
So there's your 8. That doesn't.
I don't think they're necessarily losing to Philadelphia twice.
Atlanta at home at the end of the year. Tough. They can win that
one. I can't give it to you, though. That's a tougher game.
Right.
I mean, you're at 3-9. Cleveland 4, Baltimore 5, 6, 7. Pittsburgh's winnable. 8. I think you split with Dallas, 9. Tennessee, I'm at 10.
Yeah.
I'm at 10, and I'm assuming you're going to lose to, or I'm not going to give you the other Philadelphia. They have a Dallas game, New Orleans, Atlanta, Baltimore. The schedule does get tougher, but unless there's an injury, we can say this about every team, by the way. But unless there's an injury, if Daniels goes down or something like that, yeah, I think that I 9.5 I might have gone over. 8.5 I think is a definite over.
You know, in a lot of ways, like this week's game is like the telling game. Like if you beat the Browns and you go to 4-1, I mean, how don't you get 5 more wins? You know, knowing that Carolina, the Giants again, the Bears at home, Tennessee at home. You know, they would like they're gonna have to separate themselves. Those are all win losable games.
They could sweep Dallas.
Yeah,
as bad as the Cowboys look,
they're not gonna sweep. I mean, you gotta be realistic.
Well, keep in mind that last game for that against Dallas is week 18, so it may not mean anything.
If they can get one win out of the 4 games against Philadelphia and Dallas, just go 1-3, then I don't know how they don't get 9 wins. And it's not even juiced, minus 120.
No, I think they get it.
Yeah.
I think they get it here. But Dallas and Philadelphia are both teams that are a mess right now, right? Philadelphia, Jalen Hurts looks like he's having no fun out there. Like he's just not enjoying playing football. All right, there's a lot of stuff going on in Philadelphia. They're 3-10 in their last 13 games. So both Dallas and Philadelphia, they have a lot of issues. I'm not surprised, Scott, if Washington wins the division.
Yeah, I think so too. I really do. It's amazing. 8.5, though? Wow. That won't be 8.5 after this weekend, that's for sure. All right, we'll look at some more games when we come back. Football full circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back. It is football. On this Wednesday afternoon, Scott Wetzel and George Kurtz sitting in for Ben Stevens here, checking out some of the NFL games this weekend. And we got the NFC South taking center stage tomorrow night, George. Tampa Bay at Atlanta. And, you know, not that I would bet my mortgage on this, but just knowing the NFC South over the last 3, 4, 5, whatever years, Tampa Bay is not going to win this football game. They're just not. Why do I say that? Because if Tampa Bay were to actually win this football game, then they would be separating themselves from the rest of the division. Knowing that New Orleans, which is at 2-2, plays at Kansas City, I mean, you got to figure that to be a loss for the Saints, right? So if Tampa Bay beats Atlanta, which is sitting at 2-2, now all of a sudden the Falcons and Saints are 2-3, and Tampa Bay is 4-1, and they got a monster 2-game lead. And then forget about Carolina, right? So, or what's more likely to happen in this goofy division? Tampa Bay loses, they fall to 3-3, or 3-2. Atlanta improves to 3-2. Maybe the Saints somehow or another pull off a shocker, and all of a sudden they're 3-2, and we're back to a tie situation. That more than likely, I give that a much better chance of happening than I do Tampa Bay kind of separating themselves from the pack.
It's the South. That's why we're making fun of it, right? Because they seem to do that. That being said, this is a good football game. I'm looking forward to watching here. Tampa Bay, They got a lot of injuries in the secondary there. I think Kirk Cousins going to have to attack that. Bijan Robinson's got the hamstring. He was limited in practice yesterday. He's going to play, mind you. I think we sort of knew something was up last week with Algier getting all that run for the Atlanta Falcons in that game last weekend. So we knew something was up with Bijan there. So keep that in mind. Kyle Pitts, by the way. It ain't happening, boys and girls. Time to move on. It's just, I mean, new quarterback, it's worse. And he is better with Ritter than he is with Cousins. So that's just not working out there. But London, Mooney, and McLeod, that's a nice trio. Nice trio that they're doing damage there. It's at home Thursday night. Generally, that is the advantage to the home team there, assuming the team's a decent squad here. It wouldn't be a big bet here, but I do like the Falcons minus a point and a half. That being said, Scott, I think it's going to be a good game. Good game. I think points are coming up on the board as well. 43.5, I'm going to be on that over.
Yeah, I played the over last week against Philadelphia with Tampa Bay. Did like that. Falcons 1.5-point favorites. You're right about Pitts, boy. I tell you what, you could come up with a lot of names, but he is one that he just looked like he was a man against boys in college. I mean, this pro career so far is just so shocking to me because I thought he was an absolute lock. I was all in favor of what he was drafted, fourth overall, highest tight end ever, fourth or fifth, whatever it was. I was all on board with that because he was so good at Florida, and yet he has been so invisible with all kind of quarterback. You know, they've gone through three different quarterbacks when you go before Ritter, and he hasn't distinguished himself at all. You just wonder, is it like, it can't be the speed, right? Because they can clock him, you know, so that they, it can't be he's not fast enough. Is it, you know, a lot of these guys can't catch a harder thrown football. You know, a guy throwing a football to him in college, you know, that's coming at you, you know, pick a number, 60 miles an hour. You know, these NFL quarterbacks are throwing it to you 80 miles an hour. Maybe that's it. He just can't catch, so they don't throw it to him anymore. I'd like to have some network. Just follow him. And just, you know, in his pass routes, is he getting open? Is he not getting open? You know, why is it that this guy is basically invisible for a guy who was a top five pick?
Yeah, I think if you find out, let the Falcons know. They certainly like to know that as well. Yeah. Here. But I wasn't on board with the pick only because I thought the Falcons should have taken a quarterback. Although I think all the quarterbacks that were available, they didn't work out either. So maybe the pick was just cursed and it wasn't going to matter who they took there. But I mean, he has the tools. The thing about the ball could be very true here. Maybe he can't catch a faster ball. Maybe he's not getting open. Maybe the speed in the NFL is not what he's there. Maybe he's not studying hard. It could be one of a million things here. We don't know yet. But, I was hoping with Kirk Cousins that he would bring the best out of him, right? Because now you have a legitimate NFL quarterback. Doesn't mean Kirk is Hall of Fame or great, but he's a legitimate NFL quarterback. But still, the fact that he's just not being used in the offense anymore. He's just running routes there and, yeah, he run a route, but nobody cares.
Yeah. There's got to be a reason for that, for two offensive coordinators and two different head coaches to be doing the same thing. And it's got to be on his end, not their end. They can't both, you know, be that dopey. All right, we got our first game over in Europe. You know, the Jets go from the hunter to the huntee in that last week. Jets are playing Denver. Nathaniel Hackett, his former team, Aaron Rodgers, blah, 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 right? So they're going after Denver. Of course, they lose. This week, they take on the Minnesota Vikings. Now, all of a sudden, they're facing Sam Darnold, who's got that little extra chip on his shoulder, no doubt. And I got to tell you, you know, the Jets, you know, they had a loss to play with, but they gave that up last week against Denver, George. If they were to lose to Sam Darnold and Sam Darnold does well in this game, I could hear the Jet fans now at 2-3. Oh, we kept the wrong guy, this, that, what have you. Vikings at 4-0, they're 2.5-point favorites. I like them this week. I think that defense, more than anything else, is just going to cause havoc for Aaron Rodgers. Give me the Vikings that basically pick up neutral site game over in Europe, laying 2.5.
You think of the Jets right now. You beat the Patriots. Ooh, they're terrible. You beat the Titans. Yeah, okay. And you beat them because Levis did another stupid thing in that game, right? He was finding ways to lose here. You haven't beaten anybody yet. You haven't done anything yet, really. I'm with you with the Vikings, all right? I think Sam Darnold does get his little piece of revenge here, where they're playing so well, right? Now Addison's back, Naylor, Justin Jefferson. You got the running game with Aaron Jones. They're hitting on all cylinders. Your ex-coach there, Flores, looks great as a DC. You wonder if he'll get another chance. Another guy's probably blackballed from being a head coach, I would think. But he's just been outstanding here. I haven't seen anything from the Jets that makes me think they're going to win this game. Right? They're sort of at the opposite end of the spectrum. Minnesota's playing so well, both sides of the ball. What did Hall have, 4 yards rushing last week? How the hell does that happen, Scott? How the hell does that happen? Really?
Yeah.
And I like Braylon Allen as much as anybody else, but that's just ridiculous here. Wilson's upset. You don't have Devontae Adams yet. I know there's no way I can go with it. Maybe they will. Maybe they'll play a great defensive game. Maybe Donald will be, too jazzed up and turn the ball over a couple of times, but very hard not to like the Vikings.
Yeah. Jets being 2-3, that would really, if you want to play conspiracy, if you're Aaron Rodgers, what's a better chance of the Jets going to get Devontae Adams? If you're 3-2 playing well, or if you're 2-3 and on the cusp of being in serious trouble? I don't think Rodgers would necessarily do that, but he's a quirky, he's a quirky fella. You never know. Another great 1 o'clock game, Cincy and Baltimore. We'll talk about that next. Football full circle here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back. Football full circle here on the grid. Scott Wetzel, George Kurtz in for Ben Stevens as we check some NFL stuff on this Wednesday. So let's run down a couple of the games after going through some of the different stories off the field. One of the better games. Yeah, I'm a little surprised the schedule this week, George. I mean, I understand when you look at the schedule why they did what they had to do, but I don't understand why they put the schedule the way they did. They got four West Coast teams all at home, so they got to play, Denver Mountain Time. So you have to play those at 4 o'clock. I get that, but I don't know why they would do that. They can make the schedule. You got a Buffalo Houston game, which you knew at the beginning of the year was going to be pretty darn good. You got a Baltimore Cincinnati game at 1 o'clock as well that you knew at the beginning of the year was going to be pretty darn good. So I'm not sure why they would put those two games, both of them. And you don't really have a headline 4 o'clock game. And I don't know what 4 o'clock game they thought was going to be a headliner. I mean, did they think Arizona was going to be any good against San Fran? Vegas and Denver? Not likely. Maybe Green Bay and the Rams. Maybe they anticipated that one being the headliner. And then you got the, the Giants in Seattle. And no one thought the Giants were going to be any good. So, kind of a quirky schedule. But back to the 1 o'clock game, Cincinnati-Baltimore. Cincinnati kept their season afloat last week and getting to win at Carolina. But if they really want to get back into the playoff picture, they got to win at home against Baltimore, coming off the good win against Buffalo. Cincinnati, a home underdog, getting 2.5. I'm a Bengals believer still. A little worried about that rushing defense. And we all know the Ravens can run the football, so... But I'm going to say Bengals. More hope than actually believe.
Yeah, I ain't buying it. I'm just not buying it. I think they'll score points. I'll like the over in this game. We got 50.5 here. So I like the over. I think points will be scored here. But Derrick Henry is a train right now. Ain't nobody stopping that, man. And I think Baltimore knows it. I think usually the teams get away from the running game because it's a little boring, but they know it. All right, so I certainly wouldn't play any offensive props as far as on, say, Flowers or Bateman, certainly not Andrews here, because they don't need to throw the ball right now. They can just run it up the gut, and I don't think Cincinnati can stop it. They couldn't stop anybody of late, right? So, no. Oh. Give me the Ravens. I think the Ravens have found the formula for success here. I think, once again, Cincinnati will be trailing most of this game. They're going to throw the ball a whole lot. That may be where you want to hit your props there for guys Chase, T. Higgins, and such there. But I think Baltimore, I think that I think the snowball keeps going downhill, man, gaining traction here. Give me the Ravens.
Yeah. The moment they buy into this being Derrick Henry's team and not Lamar Jackson, That's when you'll know Baltimore's for real. I mean, the guy's a beast. That's why you got the guy. You can't hand the ball off to him 15 times. You just can't. You got to hand the ball off to him 20, 25 times. And if you do that, you'll have success. So
good thing you didn't sign him, Jerry. Good thing you didn't sign him. You didn't need him.
About that comment, we couldn't afford him, right? I mean, you're talking about a guy that makes $10 million a year. You can't somehow or another find a way to get that guy into
your salary cap.
I mean, and he's from the Dallas area, and that's where
he wanted to sign with the Cowboys. Complete crap.
Very. I just like, wow. This is so strange. Boy, you got a couple of dud games at 1 o'clock. So I'll throw them together. Carolina and the Bears and Miami. If that's not bad enough, then Miami at New England. Wow. Dolphins were favorites in that game, but now they're 1.5-point underdogs, and I don't even know why they're that. I'm not going to bet a lot on this game, but if I had to choose them, I would take the Patriots. I got no faith in that Dolphin team after watching them the other night.
I said this to a joke yesterday, and I truly mean it. I got six TVs in this main room here, and there are six games at 1 o'clock. I still might not watch the Miami-New England game. All right, there's a baseball game. I may have to go on there. No, I'll watch the Miami-New England game. I'm not. Listen, under? I mean, that's the obvious one, but it's a low under as well here. What are we at? 35.5. 35.5. This is a stay-away game. It's just gross. It's just ugly here. McDaniels, the whiz. Wizard can't. It's only with Tua his offense works. Nobody else? I mean, come on. How many quarterbacks are you going through here? And you probably released your best one in Mike White. Ugly game here. Carolina, Chicago. I'm interested to see if Caleb, is he going to continue, right? He sort of in the second half last week looked good in that game here. We got Carolina getting 4.5 points. I like the over in this game, Scotty. I think we're going to get the over. 41.5, too low here. I think we're going to get the over.
That's not bad thinking, you know, because Andy Dalton, say what you want about him, but, you know, they lost last week. I get it by 2 scores. But if you watched any of that game, and I did, they were very competitive. Like, that wasn't a blowout game, and all of a sudden they scored one touchdown to make it semi-close. They were actually competitive in that game. And with Andy Dalton, Carolina will be competitive. They won't be a pushover. So I agree. I think you're going to get a ton of points in that one. George, great job as always. Enjoy working with you. I know we're going to talk later on tonight with some baseball, little hockey as the season starts on Friday, later on tonight in Game Live. So look forward to doing that.
Good luck, everybody. Puck drops Friday. Looking forward to it.